Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 18, Episode 15. This is Writing Excuses.
Building a mystery, now with more tools.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dongwan.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Howard.
And we're going to talk about mysteries again, but now you have this whole toolbox of different ways to build tension, and you see why we were so excited about it. So let's start talking about mysteries. So we've been talking about mysteries and anticipation. Okay, so how do you apply anticipation to mysteries? What are some of the classic ways we've seen it done, or things that you're like, this is the really meaty, juicy way to do it? I can talk about, I was like, I'm just going to riff until one of you has an answer. So I was anticipating something and then it fell through for me. Seriously though, one of the things that I did a lot in The Spare Man was that I was using anticipation. I was using the anticipation of, waiting for that body drop is one of the things. In the second scene, I set up a fight. And so that is building for the reader the anticipation that something is going to happen with one of those three characters. And that then allows me to have, to keep you moving along. And then we get into the second scene, the next scene, where we have a scream, and that builds an anticipation of, oh, something has gone wrong, which I then ramp up further by giving you an unanswered question of who is the screamer. So what I find a lot of times you can do with these is that you can take one of the tools that we've used and then use it as one of the tools we've mentioned, and then use it as a handoff or a funnel
page
to
turner.
The next page turner. Use it as a way to keep you going and then give you another piece of tension.
And I will say that, you know, those are the mechanics of the plot structure that you have there. Those are the beats that you're using to move us along. What works really well, and the reason all that engine goes, is you've established underneath that the character tension, right? You've established the relationship and the stakes for these individuals of, like, her trying to figure out, how do I relate to this other person? What is marriage going to be like for me? And also, like, dealing with her own trauma, her own history. Like, those are all questions you've introduced fairly quickly. I can't remember exactly when each piece of that comes in. But by the end of the first few chapters, I have a lot of questions about the future of this character, the future of her relationship, the future of her sense of self, that are pulling me through all of this as you're giving me the plot details and the unanswered questions, you know, that layer on top of that.
Coming back to the toolbox metaphor for a moment, as we've talked about these as tools, we're kind of talking about the business end of the tool. You know, the way the blade of the screwdriver fits into the head of the screw, the way the hammer slams, you know, the head of the nail. We haven't talked a lot about the handles of the tools. And for my own part, I don't start with anticipation or juxtaposition or conflict. I start with what is the answer to the original unanswered question of who committed the murder. And then I start, you know, making notes about, you know, where I want readers to feel different things. This is where I want them to be excited. This is where I want some sense of wonder. This is where I don't know what's going on or what's going to happen, but I've got to get them to turn the page. So here's a question mark. And then as I sit down with the manuscript, that's when I open up the toolbox and start looking at, this is where I'll throw in micro tension, because the characters are talking about things that don't really matter, but I need to explore them. I need to explore the characters. So I need them to be passionate about what they're talking about and to be perhaps a little bit in conflict during the discussion. So my approach to the use of the tools is, yeah.
So I will say that with Spareman, I actually started with not who committed the murder, but how the murder was committed. Because for me, the thing that is interesting in a mystery is the puzzle. And that puzzle is around the murder. So I figured out what is a really interesting way to murder someone. And then who do I have that can commit that murder? And that was actually the way that I built that particular thing, which, and what I'm hoping you're noticing, dear listeners, a thing that we keep talking about, is that there is no one right way to do things. Each of these is a correct way. It's just whatever is feeding you as the writer.
Yeah, I don't want people to come away with this feeling like with all of these different tools, you have to have some kind of master plan, right? That you need to know, oh, I'm going to deploy a red herring here. I'm going to deploy tension here. I'm going to deploy this, that, the other there. Because, you know, I think a lot about the apocryphal thing about Agatha Christie, about her not knowing who the murderer was until Poirot said it on the page or something along those lines, right? You can approach it from, I mean, yes, you do need to know which end of the tool is the business end and which is the handle, but you can deploy those tools as you go and sort of see where that leads you and sort of build up to something that feels really consistent. A lot of making a mystery feel right is a thing that happens in the editing process as you go back through it and say, I was giving a little too much information here. I need to withhold that there. Or this is really confusing because I knew what was going on, but I didn't set that up properly two scenes ago, right? So mysteries, think of them more as magic tricks rather than like perfectly executed plans, right? You get to go back through it and adjust and tweak and make sure everything's set up right for your audience to get there when they get there.
So as we've been going through these last few episodes, what's really stood out to me talking about all these different forms of tension and how to use them are overlaps between them and ways to solve multiple problems with a single tool. So for example, we've talked a lot about how we need to care about the characters in order to be invested in them. That is a perfect match with the concept of microtension. because if you give your character enough texture that they have a hobby or a job or something that they love outside of the plot, then suddenly you've given them something they can be working on in the background of a scene, or, you know, these other kinds of little micro tension problems they can be dealing with while trying to solve or trying to ignore the much larger mystery and problem that they are faced with. And that solves a lot of things all at once.
That's a great example. Sorry. And I'm going to use a great point. I'm going to use the character Fantine in Spearman as an example of that. So there's two things, two points of micro attention for her. One, she's doing crochet through much of the thing. And at one point she is so distracted, she makes a mistake. And in yelling, she's mad, not just about all of the other things that are happening, but about the fact that she had to rip out 20 rows. And it's like having to rip out 20 rows has no bearing on the overall mystery at all. But it's a piece of character detail, and it adds this little bit of micro tension. And then the other piece for her is her weird pattern of cursing, because she had made a deal with her priest that she wouldn't use swear words. And so she curses by a combination of Shakespeare and Catholic martyrs. And again, she hits a point where she's so upset that she accidentally does swear. And again, it's just this tiny bit, a little bit more attention that I'm applying to that scene and texture to the character, which is a lot of fun.
And Fantine ends up as a lot of people's favorite character, or one of their favorite characters, because of all these things that you've done.
Yeah. Yes. Hashtag Team Fantine or Team Gimlet, apparently. why don't we take a moment and pause, and we'll come back and talk about some of our other tools and how to apply them to mysteries.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WX.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Our thing of the week this week is Mark Oshiro's new young adult novel, Into the Light. It is a very twisty thriller that's told in a nonlinear way. It focuses on a young teen named Manny, who was first pulled into a cult called Reconciliation and then subsequently kicked out of said cult. And we sort of meet up with him while he's on the road after all of that. His sister stayed behind, and so he's trying to reconnect with her, and then sees on the news that a dead body has been found in the hills near where Reconciliation is based. There's multiple timelines, there's different POVs as we try to get to the heart of what exactly happened at Reconciliation, what is his trauma around his experience with this cult, and what is it like to navigate the world as a queer adoptee who's been sort of neglected by the system. It's a really fantastic, pointed, sharp, funny, weird novel. And I think people are going to be very excited to find the spoiler at the core of what makes this novel tick. And it's a real thrill.
So when we're talking about mysteries and tension, there are a number of other tools that we have not even gotten to yet, one of my favorites and one of the core things is the unanswered question. So we talked about that a little bit in the first one. We've got a whole episode on unanswered questions, but when we're applying them specifically to mysteries, one of the things I want to look at is not just the ways to do it, like misunderstanding the question, but also some of the dangers in that. Like, what are some of the pros and cons of delaying an answer in a mystery?
Okay, so I've got a pretty good example of this one. One of the things of the week that we promoted earlier was my new book, Dark One Forgotten, which is a mystery, and it is the prequel to a Brandon Sanderson fantasy novel. What that means is that even though it is structured as if you are listening to a true crime podcast, you go into it knowing that there will be a supernatural angle. You know that eventually it's got Dan Wells and Brandon Sanderson on the cover. There's going to be magic or some kind of, you know, speculative element to it. And especially if you've read the novel it's based on, you know exactly how the mystery gets solved. And so the problem that I ran into in writing it, and that I had to send multiple drafts over and over through my writing group to figure out, is it is obvious to the reader what's going on. We know that the reason no one can remember the killer or the victims is because there is some kind of magic effect. So how long can I drag out that anticipation for the reader, for the characters to finally catch on, without making them seem stupid or without frustrating the audience? And it's difficult. it was very hard to write a story that kind of fundamentally ignores one of its core premises for the first half or so of the story. So there's that unanswered question, like, who's the mystery? But the fact that it's a, or who's the killer? The fact that it's a prequel means that I needed to start, and here's the solution. Here's why I'm saying all this. What I eventually had to do was to just give you as much information as possible. It was essentially a story about tying off every possible loose end before they finally conceded that maybe magic was real, because it takes place in our world. They aren't predisposed to believe it, even though the audience is predisposed to expect it. And so three episodes of them exhausting every possible other explanation made it interesting enough to get through that. And so the anticipation and the unanswered question was very difficult to deal with.
I think this gets to something that we've talked about before, which is that sometimes you can give the answer to the reader or mm-hmm. to the listener. And I think it's what's really cool about that example is the question, it seems like to me, becomes less, is there magic involved with this? Because everyone knows the answer is yes, but more, how will people deal with the revelation that magic exists in the world? And so that's a different unanswered question. And so sometimes shifting from the informational question, I think one of the dangers sometimes in mystery is you think everything has to be about information and plot. But sometimes some of the most interesting unanswered questions are the ones about emotion, revelation, and consequence, as opposed to the ones about who did what to whom at what point.
Touching on something that Dan said toward the beginning of this episode, and something that Aaron just said, we talked about how, you know, it's like setting up a magic trick. In the second edition of Extreme Dungeon Mastery, Tracy and Curtis Hickman point out that magicians entertain purely by deception. When they explain how the trick is done, it just kind of makes us feel dumb for not having seen it, which is why they typically don't do it. Storytellers entertain by setting up deception and then with revelation. Aaron, you used that word twice. And so when I think of unanswered questions as a tool, always thinking of the revelation that is going to come at the end, the reveal of this is the answer to the question. This is how it was done. The magician typically won't show us that they were using a trick knife with a collapsible blade. But in Knives Out, famously, we are told about a trick knife in the first act, and we are shown the trick knife at the very end of the show.
Interesting that you say that, because I have some friends who are magicians, and we talk about the overlap between magic and story all the time. Because one of the things that a magician must do is that they must tell the reader, the viewer, that what they're about to do is impossible. Because you go into a magic trick knowing that they're going to do something. And I think that is also one of the things that you have to do in different ways, but it's still a narrative thing that you are using a lot of these tension tools in a mystery to signal to the reader that this is actually hard to solve. And a lot of the conflict things that you're using are ways to say this is, you know, there are reasons that this is hard to solve. Much like what Dan was talking about with, it's like, well, why don't they just think it's magic? It's like there have to be, you know, you have to present the impossibility to them in order to get the payoff of, here's the solution and the answer. And so a lot of the tools that we've been talking about are tools that you can use for that.
And I think one thing that's important to remember in all of this is that there's a way in which mysteries and the structure of a mystery is a fantasy. You are selling people on the idea that there are easy answers to complex problems, that there is a trick behind the whole thing. And, you know, I think when we think about unanswered questions, sometimes it is almost more interesting to not answer every single unanswered question you put out there, right? Like sometimes you have a Daryl who's still wandering around the island and nobody knows why he's there. And that adds this extra layer to what you're doing and can sell the fantasy of, wait, we do know who the killer is. We do know what happened. We do know what exactly was done to pull this magic trick off. But, you know, the things are hidden from the audience in that, right? There are answers that we won't see, and that's okay. And I think that can add a really interesting layer to how you're presenting your mystery, how you're presenting your answers, and what questions are you really asking in the story that you're telling.
I think these are all great points, and I'm hoping that our listeners have some new tools for when they're going back into their mystery and can apply all of these different forms of tension to the mystery. We also need to set you up for success for the next episode. We are going to be doing a deep dive on The Dark One. Dan, do you want to tell us a little bit about what people should do?
Okay, so as we explained several episodes ago, our next little series that we're going to do, we'll start with a deep dive on Dark One Forgotten, an audio book by Brandon Sanderson and me. And then we'll have some other episodes spinning off of that. So in preparation for that, you've had several weeks. You have one more week left to listen to Dark One Forgotten. This is audio only because it is a fake podcast. And you can get it pretty much anywhere that has audiobooks. Audible and Libro FM and Google Play Books and Barnes & Noble and all these other places. So it's about 6 hours long, a little more. Listen to that and then get ready for next week when we are going to dive deep into everything about its structure and its the process of creating it and why I love it so much.
One of the reasons that we're doing these deep dives and then building episodes off of them is so that you can see the tools that we use and hopefully start to build a toolbox of your own, which brings us to our homework assignment.
Okay. So, yeah, part of your homework is, if you haven't listened to Dark Ones yet, go listen to Dark Ones. But the other part of your homework is make a list of the tools which you regularly return to when you're writing. That might be Mice Quotient, three-act structure, Hero's Journey, whatever. Just make a list of the tools that you already use regularly. Then make a separate list of the tools you know about, perhaps tools like, you know, tension via microtension, conflict, anticipation, juxtaposition, unanswered questions. Make a list of the tools you know about but don't think you're using yet. And then try to move one tool from the second list to the first one.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go build a toolbox. Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr. and mastered by Alex Jackson. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.